I like to thank God for saving me. I thank Him that song the choir sings. You know, look what God gave me when He saved me from hell. You know, in 1981, when God called my name, I walked down an altar, and I didn't realize what I was getting. You know, I just didn't want to go to hell, Brother Danny.
That's right.
I mean, that was just, you know, plain and simple. I didn't want to go to hell, but Lord, have mercy, what He's given me for 30 years of my life. He has walked with me and talked with me and carried me through times I never thought I could even make it. But I thank God for that. I thank Him for that little feeling. I couldn't tell you the message that, you know, I can't remember much about. I was little, but I know what God did for me that day, and I thank Him. Heavenly Father, it's just me again. I don't mean to be a bother, but You are my dearest friend. I just get so homesick, and I can't help but feel alone. One golden daybreak, I'm coming home. One golden daybreak, gonna leave the ground. Gonna see the blessed Savior and wear my robe and crown. It's been a long, hard battle. Thank God I kept the faith. One golden daybreak, I'll leave this place.
Heavenly Father, it's just me again. I just kneel to talk and forget this world of sin. I just get so homesick, and I can't help but feel alone. One golden daybreak, I'm coming home. One golden daybreak, I'm gonna leave the ground. Gonna see my blessed Savior and wear my robe and crown. It's been a long, hard battle. Thank God I've kept the faith. One golden daybreak, I'll see Your face.
That's good. Amen. Go, that's amen. That's good. One glorious daybreak, we're going to see His face. Amen. Now, while they're getting ready, don't forget now, tomorrow night, now, I'm looking forward to it. You don't want to miss it. Tomorrow night's going to be like sort of like a one-night revival. You know, there's a lot of churches that have several revivals every year. We just usually schedule a camp meeting and the youth rally, two big meetings every year. But this is sort of like a one-night revival. So you need to be here tomorrow night. You really do. We're not going to stay till midnight. I mean, I'm not. We might. Lord gets in here, we might stay till next day. But our plan is staying around 9 o'clock, 9-ish, something like that. So if you got kids and stuff, it won't be too hard on you. Sometimes we forget how hard it is with three or four kids wrestling around on you. So that'll be tomorrow night. We're going to have two or three preachers preach 10 minutes each, and I'm going to preach a little message, and the Nail family will be singing, and we're looking forward to it. Amen. All right, y'all go ahead.
I first started walking with the Lord, I did not fully trust Him. How He longed for me to understand that I could. So through the valley, He led me, afraid as I may be, until I felt His loving arms embracing me. And I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for me. He's come through too many times that puts my mind at ease. And I'll stake my very life, He's gonna take care of me. Doubt a God whose hands hold this universe.
My, listen to that.
Or how could I ever question?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
His ability. There's no place that I can go that He doesn't know. And I've been through enough
to know He's going to take care of me. Thank God, hallelujah. Oh, that's good singing. Woo! Amen. Praise God and pray with her over there.
Amen.
Well, I like that tonight. I've been through enough to know He's going to take care of me. I don't know how He's going to do it, but He always has. Glory to God, He always will. We ought to just praise Him tonight. Amen. If you need some help, come on, get it. Come on, let's get some help from God tonight. Get your heart right. Amen.
Cause I've been through enough to know
how
enough for me.
Go ahead in the chorus. Go ahead and sing it now. Them boys at. Yep, man. Hallelujah.
And I'll stake my very life.
Yep,
He's going to take care.
He's going to take care of me, brother. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Oh, I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for me.
I'm going to sing that second verse again tonight. Boy, that touched my heart. I'm telling you what. I've been through some times when you think, boy, you just ain't going to make it, haven't you? You know what that'll do? It'll make you stronger. It'll make you stronger. The devil will tell you you ain't going to make it. But the Lord took us through last year. He'll take us through next year. The Lord took care of us in 2012. We didn't deserve it. Took care of us in 2011. We didn't deserve it. 2010. We didn't deserve it. I believe He can handle 2013, don't you? Sing that second verse again, Nuke. I tell you what, I believe it'll be a blessing to you tonight. You let them words get down in your heart. If you need to come and pray tonight, come on. You ain't got nothing too big or too little to pray about. Go ahead. Amen. Amen.
How could I ever...
Yeah, come on. Come on.
Whose hands hold this universe.
Yes, amen. Come on, friend.
How could I ever question His ability? There's no place that I can go that He doesn't know exactly where I'll be. He's always
Discouraged. That almost was a blessing. Amen. Not that I get a blessing out of my own singing, but they're good. They're blessing. Amen.
Man.
No, just kidding with y'all.
Amen.
The Lord sure is good, but I tell you what, it's been a tough few weeks for us, for me. And I want my wife to sing a song and talk about the storm a little bit.
You let God speak to you tonight, y'all.
Till the storm passes by.
Amen. Amen. Oh, that good singing. Say amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Well, somebody want to pop off right quick while I read some scripture. Before I read scripture, I'm just going to bring you a little short message tonight about the perfect ship. The perfect ship. There's only been one, and it was not the Titanic. Somebody want to say something right quick while you're opening to Genesis chapter 6. Amen, Brother Ray. That's right. Amen. Church will be 13 years old first Sunday in July. Brother Ray's not missed one service. Not one service. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. I was trying to think the last time I missed church. I don't even know when it was. I don't even remember the last time I missed church service. 30 years probably, I guess. 30. I mean, if I wasn't here, I was preaching somewhere else. God's been good to me. Lord been good to me. Hallelujah. You say, well, you ain't been sick in 30. I didn't say that. I said last time I missed. anybody else right quick? Genesis chapter 6. Look at verse 14. Everybody knows the Bible. I hope you're going to read your Bible through this year now. Right? You can work it in. Unless you're busier than anybody in the world. You can work in your Bible this year if you'll do it. And the Lord will make it up to you. Genesis 6 and verse 14. God told Noah. We're going to do a little Bible study tonight on the perfect ship. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. That's like tar, like rubber, to make it waterproof within and without. I want to preach tonight on the subject, the world's greatest and perfect ship. The only unsinkable ship that's ever been on this earth was Noah's Ark. Please understand tonight, there are three arks in the Bible. Three. Number one, there's the ark there, this one here, that God told Noah to make. I'll be preaching about that tonight. Big, gigantic ark. I'll tell you about it in a little bit. 450 feet long. That's a pretty long boat. That's from here, way out the road there. 450 feet long. There's this ark. Then the second ark in the Bible said that God's Moses' mother took him down to the river there, and she made a little ark, a little one, and put baby Moses in it and placed him among the bulrushes. Like that one fellow said, he saw his buddy come in church one night and he said, "There's Brother So-and-so." He said, "He's just like Moses. Every time he opened his mouth, the bulrushes." But the truth is, those bulrushes were weeds, like stalks and stuff sticking up. And Moses' mama put him in that little ark, and it floated in there until Pharaoh's daughter rescued him. Then the third ark tonight was what we call the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was one of the pieces on the furniture there in the tabernacle in the wilderness. 40 years they traveled. They took that thing apart. They took the Ark. It was overlaid with gold. And if you read Exodus and Leviticus, you read about the Ark of the Covenant. You remember the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark? That's what it's talking about. They're hunting the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was, ever how big it was, it had three things inside it. Number one, it had the Ten Commandments that God gave Moses. Right there at the end, the literal. They carried them things around with them in the wilderness. Number two, it had Aaron's rod that budded when they laid up that rod there and it put forth, showing a type of the resurrection. And number three, it had some of the manna that God rained down from heaven to feed the children of Israel. Those were the three ingredients in the ark. They didn't find, the Raiders of the Lost Ark did not find this Ark of the Covenant. They never have found it. There's some speculation about it, that it could have been even raptured and is in heaven right now. I don't know about that. Or if it's somewhere over there, hid somewhere. They're always trying to find it and say they find it and stuff. So there are three arks. Noah's Ark, the big one. Moses' ark, the little one, and the Ark of the Covenant. Now, some people don't get confused. Like this one guy didn't know much about the Bible, and he was trying to get him to believe it. And he came to him and he said, now they've just about got me believing in that ark. He said, you about got me convinced about that. But he said, I'll tell you one thing. I just don't believe they carried that thing around in the wilderness for 40 years. He's talking about Noah's ark. No, they didn't carry it around in the wilderness for 40 years. Noah's ark is the one I'm going to be talking about tonight. Now, when you talk about Noah's ark, immediately the skeptics and the intellectuals and the scientists and the liberals and the unbelievers and the Bible deniers have a fit. They have a fit with this story. That's why they believe the United States used to be covered, give me up and sat on this, brother, with ice. Man told me the other day, he said, now you know the whole United States used to be covered with ice in the ice age. I said, no, I don't either. He said, oh yeah, ice, that's what made the Blue Ridge Mountains, and they're all crooked, and that's why there's fish fossils up there at the top of them. Now, me and you don't believe that. We believe there was a flood. And the flood flooded the whole earth, and it crushed all them fish. You can go up to the top of the mountains anywhere in America, and there's fish fossils indicating sudden death to a bunch of them, millions of them. Bam! All at the same time. Y'all cold, ain't you? Everybody's complaining about it being hot a while ago. But anyway, these fish fossils were up on tops of the mountains, and the Bible said that Noah's ark, he rested on the mountains of Ararat. Now, when you start talking about Noah's ark, you open up a big can of worms. And the scientists and the evolutionists and the people that believe the earth millions of years and dinosaurs were there at that time and then they fade out in mankind, they have a heart attack. They just go crazy. Now, the truth is there were dinosaurs. The truth is they coexisted with man. Man and dinosaurs were on the earth at the same time. That's very evident. I mean, there's fossils. There's man footprints and dinosaur footprints in the same rock strata in Glen Rose, Texas. You can go look at them. They won't let you see that, and they'll never put it in the Smithsonian Institute. Every time they find giant bones, they won't put that in the Smithsonian Institute of people. There were people, don't go crazy, there were people on the earth as tall as this ceiling right here. There were people. There's men in the Bible, in the Old Testament, who said their height was like cedars. Cedar trees. I mean, there's some big feller. And they have actually found bones and skeletons of these big giants. If you want to look up something on YouTube, look up ancient giants and giant of the old days. You will be amazed at the fish. You say, well, why don't they teach that in school? Because it goes against evolution. Evolution teaches we start out little and we're gradually getting bigger and better all the time. The Bible teaches we started out perfect as Adam and Eve and been going downhill ever since. It's always opposite. Now, in the flood thing, immediately what they do is they'll say, somebody will jump up and they'll say, you can't tell me that he got all them animals on that ark. There's no way in the world, how silly. He got all them animals on that ark. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Raise your hand. All right? You know what they always tell them to that? Anybody that says that, number one, they don't know how big the ark was, and number two, they don't know how many animals there was. They just run in their mouth, hoping that you'll back down and not believe the Bible. You got to understand that the Lord didn't say, take two of every species. He said, take two of every kind. In other words, there wasn't two bulldogs and two German shepherds and two Pekingese and two chihuahuas and two dachshunds and two Rottweilers and two pit bulls. They didn't say every species. And he said every kind. Every dog in the world come from six dogs. Every cat in the world come from about six cats. There's easily, you don't maybe not know this, they won't tell you this either, but about something like 80% of the animals in the world live in the water and didn't have to get on the boat. They can swim. And 75% of the land animals are insects. You can put every one of them in my office in there tonight. Different kinds of them. I'm going to tell you tonight, listen, brother, there's very few big, big animals. And he got them on there. Noah got them on there. Wasn't no problem. 450-foot boat, brother, going out this way, wide, that wide, and several stories tall, you could put a lot of animals on that thing. So Noah's Ark was just that. It was the oldest thing story, and it is exactly true. I was reading some illustrations recently. You can look this up too. And in my illustration book, it said they found trees now, certain trees in different parts of the world, that they say they're between 4,000 and 5,000 years old. That's an old tree. Isn't that coincidental that it just goes back to the time of the flood, 4,000 years ago? 4,000 years ago was the flood. And the oldest tree they can find now just happens to be dating right when God sent the flood. Every time they turn around, they're proving the Bible to be accurate and true. You know, I read about these trees over in the coast of West Africa. I'd never heard of them in my life. I was reading, studying last night, and it said there's miles and miles of this one forest over there. Think about this. The trees, big trees, and their trunk is that big around, but they're only this tall. That's some funny looking trees. They are 1 foot tall, and they have big giant leaves that just go sticking out like that, like a book. But they're a tree. Big old trunk, that big around, and only this tall. Weird, weird sort of a forest over there. That's where them wee people live. Them trolls, and them in Ireland they call them wee people. In America they call it E.T. Little short people from another world. And they're all in the little people. And brother, you know something? The Bible said that Noah's Ark was there, and Noah's Ark was real. The Titanic was built in Ireland. And them men that built the Titanic said it cannot sink. And one guy before that maiden voyage said God couldn't even sink this ship. Isn't that something? He ought not to say that, should he? He said, God, the Lord says up there, we'll see about that. The Lord, he didn't even have to exert himself. The Lord didn't have to say, reach down there. He just let a little iceberg open that thing like a can opener. And down it went. But this one right here, it wasn't going nowhere. Noah's Ark was built like a big old box, like a gigantic coffin, like a big, it wasn't built like ships nowadays. Ships nowadays are built like this, because they're navigating. He wasn't going nowhere. He was just floating. He wasn't trying to get from point A to point B. He just floating on the water till it went down. So therefore, Noah's Ark didn't have to be like that in the front. He wasn't going nowhere. He just floated and come down on the mountains of Ararat. Now let me just say a few things about it, and this will be a blessing to you. Number one, it was designed by God. He was the architect. Made of gopher wood. It's used for building like a cypress tree. The Mayflower, in comparison, was 90 feet long. But it was made to float, not to sail. This wasn't a sailboat. It was a float boat. It was 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. That's a big one. Plenty enough room for anybody. And you know what that shows? Anybody in that town, in that land, could have got on that boat. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and anybody, you can't tell me, don't you sit there and tell me that anybody in that world could have got on that boat and been saved. There was room on the boat. Noah got up and said, there's room on the boat for you. There's room on the boat for you. Though eight have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room. I tell you what, they sung that before they got on there. And boy, I tell you, the animals got on there, they could have got in. And I'm telling you tonight, brother, that ark is a type of Jesus. And I want to say, there's room for you. There's room at the cross. There's room at the cross. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. I'm so thrilled. I'd hate to be one of those ridiculous, backslid, heretic, Calvinist preachers who preach that Jesus only died for a certain few and only certain ones chosen before God can come. I'm saying there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. I want to say secondly tonight, it was watertight. Now you got to understand that ark is a double type. Many things in the Bible are what we call a double type. And some people get hung up on one of the two types. A double type is something that can be two types. The ark is a picture of the Jewish remnant preserved through the tribulation. Now, Enoch is a picture of the Christian raptured out before the flood, the tribulation. Noah went through the tribulation, picture of the Jewish remnant. However, it's a double type. The ark is also a type of Jesus Christ. He was in that ark and he was saved from the wrath of God. You know, the only thing that saved Noah is that ark. That ark, brother, was pitched within, without. Like we'd put tar on a roof to keep it waterproof. Keep water out, keep water from going out, keep water from coming in. That's the only thing it kept. He was in the ark. I'm glad tonight that I'm in Jesus Christ. I'll be safe from the wrath of God when it comes on this world because I'm in the ark. That's what saved Noah. It was watertight. Amen. I'm telling you, like gopher, it means atonement. No water could get in. The judgment of God couldn't stop them. And I want to say tonight, not one drop of water touched Noah and his family. Not one drop of water. The water was the judgment and wrath of God, and they did not get wet. One man told me one time, he said, well, you got to get baptized and be saved. And I said, no, you don't either. And he said, yes, you do. And you know, people believe that. They know three verses of Scripture, and they just run around and around and around. And no matter what you say, over in Peter, where it said, and Noah and his family was saved by water, and they don't understand it. The water didn't save Noah. They said, well, see, you got to get baptized. And I, you know what I told him? I said, well, the only people that got baptized is the ones that went to hell. Noah stayed dry. Ain't that right? The ones that got wet wasn't saved. Well, he didn't like that too good. That's right. Noah didn't get baptized in the flood. He was dry the whole time. It was watertight. Amen. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, he said, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And when Noah and his family got in that ark, and God shut that door, the storms of life couldn't touch them. The storms of life couldn't drown them. The judgment of God was off them. People, if you'd let that truth get a hold of you tonight, you could shout. I like the song the Parker family used to sing all the time. And the storms of this life, and the storm gathering storms cannot make me afraid. For I can shout without a doubt, I'm saved. And this world's gathering storms cannot make me afraid. Brother, when the sky got dark and the lightning flashed, Noah and his wife sat down, had a cup of coffee, and brother sat there and talked in fellowship because the storm couldn't touch them. And the storms of life and the judgment of God will fall on this earth, but it cannot touch us if we're in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this world's gathering storms cannot make me afraid. I can shout, without a doubt, I'm saved. Number three, God was in it. I like what it said. The Bible said, notice when the time for the flood came, when it come time for the flood, they've been working on it 120 years or thereabout. Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, Miss Shem, Miss Ham, Miss Japheth, and Miss Noah. And there's eight of them. That means new beginning. Number eight means new beginning. They started the world all over again when it come out. New beginning. And they got in. And you know what God said right before the flood? He said, Noah, come thou into the ark. That stuff like that proves to me the Bible's true. Stuff like that right there that the college professor has no clue about. The Lord said, Noah, come thou in the ark. Now anybody that wrote the Bible wouldn't have said that. They said, God's up in heaven and said, all right, Noah, get in there. I'm going to drown everybody. Why didn't the Lord say, go in the ark? Why did the Lord say, come in the ark? Because he was in there waiting on him. God's saying, come on in, Noah. And the Lord's, brother, the Lord's always there. He's never going to take you. Listen, God ain't going to ask you to go somewhere where he ain't been already ahead of you. God ain't going to ask you to go where you can't go without him. I look at old Bo there. I mean, he's facing some rough times. And every one of us, our heart goes out to Brother Bo. He's facing what could be. He told me the other day, I hope you don't mind me telling this. He told me the other day, he said, Brother Danny, this will be my last Christmas. He said, I won't be here next Christmas. He said, and I hope that's wrong, brother, but it very well may be. You say, oh, Brother Danny, what's he going to do? The Lord's in there with him. The Lord's in there with him. It might have been my last Christmas. It might have been your last Christmas. But I thank God the Lord's in there with me. I'm in the ark and he's with me tonight. How about you? The Lord was in that thing. The Lord was in that thing. The Bible says it like this. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That's it. Amen. When he walked by the shores of Galilee, when he healed the sick, when he gave sight to the blind, that was God in Christ pulling people in. All right, now let me give you these thoughts. Let me give these four things and I'm done. Number one, there was only one door. The Bible said there was only one door. Who in the world would build a 450-foot boat and only put one door in it? That's another thing that makes you want to shout. Amen? Lord, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to figure that out, do you? There was only one door. That's a picture of salvation. That's a picture of Jesus Christ. Only one door. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? People didn't know there even was going to be a Jesus back then. They didn't know he was going to die on the cross. They didn't know he was going to say, I'm the way. No man cometh the Father but. They didn't know that. They just built a boat. Noah got his instruction. That building inspector would have had 35 heart attacks if he'd have come over here. Well, where's your door? Right there. Well, where you got to have four more exits and exit signs, and you got to have a sprinkler system. Noah said, son, we're going to have a sprinkler system. Don't you worry about that, dude. It's going to sprinkle because you're sick and tired of sprinkling. He said, don't you know you got to have this wire in you? Don't you know you got to have the climate control in here? Don't you know? He said, who told you to build it like it? He said, God did, and he's architect. He said, what if there's going to be a fire? Ain't going to be no fire. How do you know? God would have told me if there would have been. There's going to be a flood. Now, one of these days there's going to be a fire, but me and you be dead and gone by then. And them people really better get ready, because the next time God does it is going to be by a fire. Lord have mercy, I'm about to shout. Hallelujah. I don't know about you tonight. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm in the ark. Woo! Hallelujah. Old Brother Danny gets to be in the ark, saved from the wrath of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Happy New Year. Good to be saved tonight. I'm telling you tonight, brother, it was only one door. He said, now, Noah, how come you only built one door? Because don't you think this is rather stupid? What if one of them animals gets after you and blocks the door and you have to go out the back? And he said, the Lord said, put one door. Nobody would have built something that big and put one door in it. Why'd he do it? Because the Lord was showing whoever wrote that book knew the future. And the Holy Ghost pinned it down. One door. Thousands of years later, Jesus Christ would stand and say, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You see how that King James Bible fits? Without one hitch, without one contradiction, without one problem or error, Jesus said, I am the door. There's only one door. The news commentators think there's Buddha and think there's Allah and think, I heard one say one time, they said, if anybody in the world believes their religion sincerely, then they all will wind up with God. The only problem with that is, it's a lie. One door. Only one door. If you didn't come in that door, you didn't get in. I can imagine a butterfly come down. Had to come down, go in that door. I can imagine a possum. Had to just crawl up, come in that door. High-flying eagle had to come down, come in that door. That's the same way it is in this world. Little old bus kid has to go right in that door. Big shot in Morganton has to come down, go right in that door. I mean the Queen of England, brother, has to come in that door. Rock singer has to come in that door. If you don't go in that door, you ain't in. You're going to drown. The judgment of God is going to be on you. See how simple that is? Hallelujah. Praise God, there was only one door. Jesus said, I am the door. Jesus did not say, I am a door. He did not say, I am one of the doors. He said, I am the door. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Amen? God was in it. And by the way, God told Noah, he said, now Noah, you get in here. And once you're in, I'm shutting the door. You ain't got to worry about the flood. What if Noah believed like some people, he would have got on top of the ark somewhere and said, well, here's me a good place right here. Alright, Lord, let the flood come. If I can hang on through this storm, maybe I'll be alright. Lord, don't let me blow off. Don't let them waves hit me and knock me down. Please, Lord. Please. That's some people's religion right there. You know what he done? He went in there. The Lord shut him in. He said, woo! Let the storms of life gather. I'll be all right. I'm telling you tonight, that's where we are. We ain't hanging on. We're sitting back enjoying the trip. It's already been paid for. We're in and the door's shut. Amen. I'd make you shout if you get a hold of that. Not only that, there was only one window. There's only one window. Hebrews 2:9 said, we see Jesus. Building inspector, where's your windows, Noah? Right there. You put a sunroof in a 450-foot boat. And Noah said, that's right. He said, why did you put a window in the top? Why would you put a window in the top? He said, I reckon it's because the Lord wants us to just look to Him and not look at all the bad stuff in the world and all the bad things that's happening. There's a lesson for us, people. Amen. You know, sit looking, oh Lord, what are we going to do? The physical clip! Just keep looking to Him. Just keep looking to Him. Amen? Amen? Hey, I got news for you. We've had it whether we go off the cliff or not. This thing going down. The judgment of God's coming. You know what we do? Keep our eyes on Him. God that saved me when I was 18 years old, I'm still looking for Him. I'm still looking at Him. If you get your eyes on this world, you'll get discouraged. If you get your eyes on the things of this life, you'll get all tore up. Keep your eyes that way. Keep your eyes that way. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look for Him. Look for Him. Unto them that look for Him, He'll appear. In the storms of life cannot make me afraid. I can shout without a doubt. I'm saved. Number three. It contained enough food for everybody on board. They was on there over a year, and there's enough food stored up in these storage cabinets. And you remember Noah took 7 of every clean animal for food. Right? 2 to repopulate the world when they come out, and 7 of every clean animal. I wish he'd have just took a fly swatter and killed them 2 mosquitoes. And we wouldn't be worried with them sorry, good-for-nothing things to this day. But I reckon the Lord said, let them live. Wouldn't that have been a blessing? But anyway, he had them on there, and there was enough food. He had Shem and Ham and Japheth. It took a lot of food for them elephants and some of them big animals, tigers and lions. And stuff like that. I mean, them things can eat. But most of the animals, cows, sheep, stuff like that, they got milk, they had water stored up. They probably had some kind of water system and going for sewer purposes, had it all filtered out. They had all that stuff done. Listen, you work on something 120 years, you can figure it out. I mean, especially when you're 600 years old. Can you imagine how smart a man would be who's 600 years old? You ever been around these old people, 70 and 80 years old? They can tell you a lot. What would a man know that had lived 500 years? And God talking to him. He can figure you out something, buddy. Let me tell you. You'd be wise to listen to a fella 500 years old that God's talking directly to. They had it figured out. Don't you let these little peon scientists in 2012 say, there's no way that could have happened. There's no way. They ain't 50 years old yet, and God ain't never spoke a word to them. I'll take His word for it, amen. I'd take Noah's word any day of the week. I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, God was in that thing, and He had enough food for everybody. He kept all the healthy without the sickness or death. God kept them. He kept their. Listen, when God invites you on a picnic, He's already got the food ready. And lastly, it was safe and sound when the flood was over. All that I want is in Jesus. He satisfies, my joy He supplies. Life would be so worthless without Him. All things in Jesus I find. The Lord didn't say, when He got in that boat over there that time, when He got in the boat with the disciples, He said, let's go to the other side. Read that sometime. He said, let's go to the other side. When the Lord got in the boat, He said, we're going to the other side. He didn't say, now let's try it for a while and see how we make it. He didn't say, now we're going to try this, but I ain't making no promises. He said, we're going to the other side. And I'm going to tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, this thing me and you's in called the church, we're going to the other side, people. We are going to the other side. We're going to hit the shore of sweet deliverance one of these days, and I'm going to see y'all, and I say, I told you we was going to make it. And you say, Brother Danny, I doubted, and I was scared, and I was worried, and half the time I didn't know whether I was coming or going, backslid. I was going to heaven, hell, or Georgia. And here we are, glory to God. He told us we was going to the other side. And we're going. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Amen.